I've had the privilege twice to go to the Holy Land as a pilgrim, and part of the tourism and pilgrimage package almost always includes a trip onto the Sea of Galilee. They have several wooden fishing boats that they've constructed that, of course, are probably a little bigger than the fishing boat that the disciples were using is in today's gospel, but more or less to give you an idea of what it would be like to be out on the Sea of Galilee in this boat. And the second trip that I took, we actually weren't allowed to go out on the sea because a storm was coming and the waves were already too large. Sound familiar? But the first time, I remember going out, and a group of us were sitting on the edge of the boat with our feet dangling over the water. And I remember looking down, and it was 3 or 4 feet to the level of the water. And I thought, even when it's calm, you would have to be crazy to get out of this boat. I mean, it's not just stepping out of the boat. You know, and a lot of times when I hear the gospel, that's what I picture. Peter gets out of the boat, and I picture it like stepping out of this room and then stepping back in. But he literally had to leap out of the boat to get to the level that the water was at. That's insane. And if we think about it, most of us would probably be battening down the hatches at that point. Most of us wouldn't even have our head up and looking out to where Jesus is walking on that stormy water. And so I reflect on that every time I hear this story of how crazy it was for Peter to step out of that boat, for him to jump out to the water, to walk towards Jesus. So why? Why? What was it that he was thinking and feeling and experiencing? Well, I think it's important for us to look at the exchange that happens right before that moment. Because here in the midst of the chaos of this stormy weather, they look up and they see this figure. And the disciples at first don't recognize it as Christ. I think that seems like something we constantly are experiencing in our lives, where we don't recognize whether Christ is really there or not. Are you in the midst of this, Lord? Where are you? We're constantly asking those questions. And I think it's because a lot of times we try to make it something that we can think and digest up here. Whereas in reality, our relationship with Christ is something that comes from our heart, ultimately. And so we want to be asking God, why? Why does this happen? Why does that happen? Where were you? All these questions for him, instead of encountering the person of Christ and coming to know who he is. Because honestly, Peter has the courage and the trust to jump out of that boat, even though that's crazy, because he has come to know who Jesus is. He recognizes the presence of the one he loves. It's interesting because when they call out, Christ's response is, "Take courage, have heart, it is I." And in early Greek translations of the scripture, "it is I" was literally the same phrase as "I am." That identity that God gives to the Hebrew people, I am. His name that he gives to Moses at the bush when Moses says, "This is crazy. How am I supposed to do this?" God says, "I am. Take courage. Have heart." It's a reminder to us that God's very identity is presence itself. His being, his essence is presence. And so when we are caught in storms, what a wonderful reminder to us that God isn't just present in the highs and the joys of our life, but his very essence is presence. So even in the midst of a stormy sea, take courage. "It is I," is still the promise. And Peter hears that and he immediately recognizes his Lord. He recognizes the relationship that he trusts in. And he knows that if he calls me, I can get out of this boat. And it takes me to the other thing I think is very interesting about this dialogue. Because oftentimes, I think when I'm experiencing something in my life, a stormy sea, I want God to come in and fix it. I want him to enter in and make things right again. And the problem when I have that mindset is that I'm not recognizing he's already present. He already is. And Peter, though, recognizes this. He says, Lord, if you say, let me come to you. Come to where you are in the midst of all of this. Because if I can come to where you are present, then it's going to be okay. And Jesus simply says, come. We oftentimes want to overcomplicate the presence of God in our life. We want to make it this big thing, this complicated thing that takes a lot of energy. But our first reading makes very clear, no, the presence of God, it's so basic. It's always present. He is always. And we see that he's not present in the fire when it comes by Elijah. He's not present in the wind. He's not even present in the earthquake. But in the whisper, he is present. And Elijah comes to know the identity of his God more fully. Peter comes to know the identity of his Lord more fully. And he trusts that identity. He trusts that present in the midst of the storm. Question I think we should sit with. How do I see the presence of God in my life? Where is he present? Because if I'm not now working on understanding how God speaks to me and is present to me, if I'm not taking the time out of my day to learn what the presence of God looks like, then I will never jump out of that boat because it is way too scary. I will never trust that I need to go to him in these situations. If I don't take the time now to learn how he speaks to me, I won't hear him when he's calling me. What is it that I need to do in my life right now to come to identify the presence of God more fully, to hear the language that he speaks? Because it's not always big. Sometimes it's a whisper. Am I taking the time during my day, each day, to learn what the presence of God looks like? It could be scripture, it could be through others. But am I taking the time to learn how he speaks? Let us come to recognize the presence of God, I am, more fully in our life, so that we will be prepared to go to him when he calls.